Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day. Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. Last week, we began our study in James. Today, in our second lesson, we find a theme that is woven throughout the book. The theme is God's wisdom. It comes up right here in the beginning, and later in chapter 3, there's a specific section about it. In this short book, wisdom is mentioned quite often. This is wisdom that will never be outdated. You don't have to worry about some new discovery being made that renders this obsolete. It won't happen. This is timeless truth. The title of today's lesson is God's Wisdom Workshop. J. Mark gives us three tools to help us get wisdom. This made me think back to the time when I worked in construction. It was a small company, and we built and remodeled houses. To help us accomplish the job, we had many tools. However, just because the tools were there didn't mean everyone knew how to use them. The tools didn't guarantee a good job. The people using the tools had to know how to use them. This is how it is with all tools. And most of the time, we get better at it the more we use them. This also applies to studying God's Word and the tools J. Mark mentions in our lesson. Let's go to James 1 and learn from God's Word about God's wisdom.
In my previous teaching, we examined the potential benefits of trials in our walk of faith. Our study today is from James chapter 1 and verses 5 through 11. Verse 5 introduces the subject of wisdom and how you and I can ask for it. These verses are in the context of the benefits of trials and suffering. So keep that context in mind as we study together. I've titled my teaching, God's Wisdom Workshop. What is wisdom? Wisdom isn't the same as intelligence, because there are many intelligent people who are not wise. Some of the most educated people in our world are fools, according to Psalm 14:1. Nor is wisdom the same as knowledge. Today we have access to more knowledge than any previous generation, but as a whole we're certainly not wiser than previous generations. How then do we define wisdom? Well, here's the definition I often use: seeing and responding to life's situations from God's point of view. That definition fits with the context of James' instruction. We need to see our struggles and trials in the light of what God wants to do in our lives. So listen now as I read the text, James 1, beginning with verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. As we explore this text, we'll discover three tools to help us maximize our productivity in God's Wisdom Workshop. The first tool is the tool of desire. The simplest definition of a tool is a means to an end. You want to drive a nail into a piece of wood. The hammer is the tool you need. The hammer becomes a means to an end. There may be other ways to get the nail into the wood, but the hammer, as a hand tool, is the quickest and most efficient. Desire is also a tool. It is a means to an end, and advertisers know this. Create a desire in the consumer's mind, reinforce it through repetition, and support it with positive images, and people will most likely buy your product. Desire is such a powerful tool that it can control people and their behavior in ways that are destructive. Let's consider desire as a tool in God's Wisdom Workshop. The first desire in verse 5 is our desire for wisdom. James says, if we lack wisdom, we can ask God for it. As followers of Christ, we often lack wisdom. It's not something we have naturally, so we need to ask God for it. The Bible teaches us that our acquisition of wisdom will be proportional to our desire. Proverbs 2, verses 1 to 6 say this, "My son, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments with you, so that you incline your ear unto wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yea, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hid treasures, then you shall understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding." Did you catch all the verbs, all the action words that describe the strength of our desire for wisdom? In the Antarctic summer of 1908 and 1909, Sir Ernest Shackleton and three companions attempted to travel to the South Pole from their winter quarters. They set off with four ponies to help carry their supplies. Weeks later, with their ponies dead and their rations exhausted, they turned back toward their base without reaching their goal. Shackleton records that on that return journey, time was spent talking about food, elaborate feasts, and sumptuous menus. As these men staggered along, not knowing whether they would survive, every one of their waking hours was occupied with thoughts of eating. Shackleton's obsession with food offers us a glimpse of God's passion for our pursuit of wisdom. In verse 5, there's another tool of desire, and this is God's desire. God's willingness to grant us wisdom is often greater than our desire to receive it. He longs to give his wisdom to us. The end of verse 5 tells us that if we only ask God for wisdom, he will respond generously and give it to us. Not by the spoonful like some nasty-tasting medicine, but by making it a living stream that flows out of our inner being, bringing us life and vitality in the Spirit. He knows we need wisdom, so he doesn't rebuke or scold us when we come and ask. Desire produces action, and James challenges us to bring our desire to receive God's wisdom up to his level of desire to give it to us. Because when we do that, our desire will be a powerful tool God can use to make our lives more productive. The second tool, then, in the workshop is the tool of decision. We must develop and use this tool in God's wisdom workshop. In verses 6 through 8, James shows us how important the tool of decision is. When we ask God for wisdom, we must believe he hears and that he will answer. To have faith or to believe is a decision. It's an act of my will. We can have all the facts and be more knowledgeable than anyone else on a given subject. But what good is it if we don't act on what we know? Have you ever asked God for something, but in the back of your mind you thought, it will never happen? Our text says, don't even think that God is going to hear a prayer like that. Too often, I verbally ask God for wisdom, but in my heart, I've already decided what I'm going to do. I'm learning that that kind of behavior carries a higher price tag than I'm willing to pay. I've had to learn the hard way, the consequences of being double-minded. To be double-minded or two-spirited means to be indecisive. One day, we're ready to see life in God's way and follow his leading. The next day, not so much. We look to the world for their guidance. James warns us that those with that lifestyle will never lay hold of God's wisdom. The first decision you and I must make to gain wisdom from God is to seek him diligently. In the past, I have sometimes asked God for wisdom when all I would have needed to do was look into his word. You see, asking God for wisdom on a subject where he's already spoken is evidence of being double-minded. James assures us that if we exhibit double-mindedness, God will not be able to give us the wisdom we need to face the trials and the tests of life. So we must learn to use the decision tool effectively in order to know God's wisdom. Wise decisions produce confidence in God. And then the final tool to be used in God's wisdom workshop is the tool of design. In our search for wisdom, we must understand that God designs the circumstances and events of our lives to motivate us to seek His wisdom. Romans 8:28 says, "All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." God designs the pressures of life to put us into a position of helplessness where we have no one else to turn to but Him. Interestingly enough, James helps us understand that whether we're poor or rich, there are pressures that accompany either condition. We often tend to look at those who are richer than we are, and we think they have an easy life. But that's not necessarily true. Those who are poor should rejoice in their dependence upon God and His provision. They are in a position to learn God's wisdom. God wants to reveal His wisdom to everyone, but often we're not open to receiving it, especially if we have everything we need. But when we're facing a deadline, when the rent is due tomorrow and the money isn't coming till next week, then God's power and God's wisdom can be demonstrated. The rich have other concerns. They worry about whether they have enough. They understand there are many ways to lose what they have. And so James tells them to rejoice when their wealth is taken away. Now they must depend on God. God's design is to show them that riches are fleeting and transitory. Riches can't be trusted, but God can, and He will always be there. So when trials come, and they will, they create tension and pressure in our lives. How do we find release from the tension? By deciding to turn to our Heavenly Father, humbly submit to His will, and ask Him for wisdom. God doesn't force us to turn to Him, but He can design circumstances that make us willing. In the last three verses of our text, we discern that the particular circumstances we find ourselves in are not the primary issue. The primary issue is, will I seek God's wisdom no matter what my circumstances are? So, how great is your desire for God's wisdom? Have you learned to use your desire as a tool to know Him better? How well are you using the decision-making tool? Are you fully committed to God's ways, or are you still relying on man's wisdom? What about the tool of design? Do you want to see God's purpose in every circumstance of life? When that becomes your goal and mine, we can use all these tools with skill. Using the tools given to us in God's wisdom workshop, He will make our lives productive for Him as we see and respond to life's circumstances from His point of view.
Thanks, J. Mark, for sharing these tools with us and for summarizing wisdom so well. Seeing and responding to life situations from God's point of view. That's a good definition, and one each of us has room for growth. May we keep growing and see things like God sees them. Thanks again for being with us today. If you have any questions or if you want to contact us for any reason, here is how you can reach us. Email is a good way. Our email is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you can contact us on our website, which is heraldsofhope.org. And of course, you can write to us. Our address is Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, PA 15533. We would love to hear from you. Please contact us however it is easiest for you. Today, we talked a lot about godly wisdom. Think about this question and answer from James 3 as we come to the end of our time together. Who is wise and understanding among you? This is what we all want to be, and He gives us the answer. Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom.